The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, it's all about getting your garden ready for the fall growing season, as well as farmers markets, information that you should know. Our guest is author Lori Anna Raymond Dubernel, and we'll answer your garden questions. That's all this hour, and it's jam-packed, so let's start right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team, Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today and allowing us to be part of your world for the next hour. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow indoors and out. There's a number of ways in which you can get a hold of us, but first, we want to thank you, whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 AM and FM frequencies that are broadcasting our program here in 2021 across the United States, through a radio app, through our parent website, which is the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, or through a podcast replay or in-studio video replay, a number of ways in which you can capture the program, and we thank you for doing that. You can get a hold of us by giving us a call, if you'd like, at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Or if you would much rather just send us an informationally packed email, you can do that by sending us to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. gardentalkradio@gmail.com with your question, and we will get the answer to your situation. Big show today. It's about fall planting, Holly. And before we get into that, you know what this show is, don't you?
It's our 112th show.
If 140 was 10 weeks ago, this cannot be 112.
It's 144th show.
150th show.
150th show? Wow.
Yeah, 150th show.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. And all 150 shows are captured via podcast and in-studio videos. So all the way back to March, I think it was 4th of 2017, you can capture all of those, relive all of those. Well, Holly, let's get into the topic of the day, which is planting or planning for your fall garden.
Yeah, so you want to start thinking about that. You may not be planting like immediately.
It's 117 degrees. Why should I need to worry about fall planting?
Because fall planting doesn't mean you're planting in the fall. It means you're planting for the fall.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is predominantly what we're going to speak about is more for the northern areas where our show is being broadcast in the zones 3, 4, 5, 6 area. There's a lot of people who listen to our show in Texas and Arizona and Florida and all that. This is applicable, just not at the exact same time in which we're talking about current present tense.
Right. So we can talk about, you want to do about 70 days before your first average frost date.
That's 10 weeks.
10 weeks or so. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, and we'll kind of go through that here.
Now, I will say that in the many portions of the country, the fall planting is not something anybody cares about from a business standpoint. They don't have plant starts at your local garden center right now for fall in Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, Salt Lake City. Typically, that's not a big thing. Now, some of the places way down south, that does exist.
Right.
Not up here. You got to have to start these things. You're on your own on this one.
Yeah. So hopefully, if you don't have any seeds, I don't know, you might not be able to do this year, but maybe next year.
Seeds are on sale now, so yeah. See what we can get a hold of.
So the first one we have here on the list is arugula. Arugula.
Now, arugula, if you've never tasted it, you might want to figure out what it tastes like, because to me, not a pleasant green to have. Now, apparently, if you cut it and you mix it in with other things or put it in your smoothie, it suffocates the flavor of arugula. Not the best flavor I've tasted, but some people enjoy that type of flavor.
Right. It's definitely an acquired taste,
yes.
I guess.
5 to 7 days for those seeds to germinate. even in cold soil. Now, arugula is something that's going to go to bolt, go to seed very, very rapidly. So you want to kind of wait a little bit in order to plant that. It can take about 30 days to reach maturity. So you can kind of really get that pushed even farther back into the later portions of fall as the days get chillier. And it will do quite well.
I just want to mention that arugula is also a microgreen that people grow indoors.
Yeah.
So maybe you're like, I don't want to grow outside, but you like the arugula, whatever, one of your microgreens as an option.
Beets can be grown in the spring, and all these things can be grown in the spring and the fall. Beets take about 65 to 70 days to reach maturity. You can plant them later in the fall, 10 to 12 weeks before your first average frost date, and you will get beets. We're harvesting beets now because we planted them way back in April. And we can start planting them again for fall harvest. Beets come in a variety of different colors, from golden to Detroit to Chiaga. That's the beet that's red on the outside. But when you cut it across the bulb, it has white and red circles in it. So it's a pretty neat little thing.
So one of the cool things about beets is that if you harvest them when they're about 2 to 3 inches in diameter, they're going to have a little bit of a sweeter, better flavor.
Mm-hmm. Not so woody.
So if you're like, well, I don't know if I have enough time to plant these beets, but they might not get very big, that might not be a problem.
You also want to thin the beets out. They come in cluster seeds. You got to thin them out. Otherwise, you're not going to get any bulb development on that. Cabbage is another one which you can get started a little earlier here and get it going. And in some climates, you can let that go later on, even up to the first snowfall, and harvest it then. They've got cabbages that are burgundy, green, from 3 pounds to 10 pound heads of cabbage, based on what you're looking for.
Right. So that's the cabbage, and you.
Carrots are next on the list.
Carrots are next. Yep. So carrots, you know, they're a root crop, and they are known for their classical cool season growing, and they take about 7 days to germinate. If not more, they germinate a little bit slower.
Yeah, about 14 on the long end. And you want to cover your carrots, whether you're planting them in the spring or the fall. Put them, plant them wherever you're going to plant them. Make sure the soil is hydrated. Take a piece of cardboard or a board and cover that row or that area for that 7 to 14 day duration to hold the moisture next to the seed. And that will increase your germination rate substantially from if you just didn't cover with a object to hold that moisture in. The seeds are very tiny, need very little soil on top of them, and if you don't cover them, you're going to have a very poor carrot crop. They can take 60 to 80 days to reach maturity. You can harvest them as baby carrots and pick a color. They will come. You can get carrots in that color.
Right. So then there's also cauliflower, and cauliflower is frost sensitive. So if you are going to grow this for the fall, you want to make sure you're definitely backing off that frost.
You can plant it in the spring, get a little frost on it, it's okay. But as the plant is getting to a mature state, that's when the sensitivity kicks in on the cauliflower. Chinese cabbage, similar to the traditional cabbage that we were talking about earlier, kind of the same thing. You got pak choy and bok choy and all the choys in there that you can grow. And it does have a very different flavor or taste than the traditional cabbage that we are familiar with that we would get at the farmer's market or the grocery store.
I don't think we've ever tried this in fall. We've done it in the
spring. We've done it in the spring, yes.
Yeah. So that's another option for you. Then you have your good old kale, your greens, your kale, collards, mustards, those nice nutrient-dense greens. And you can, you know, if you have kale that's growing from the spring, it will grow
right
into almost winter.
And grow next spring, and it'll put seeds on for seed collection. They're biennials. They'll put seed on the second year. And kohlrabi is another interesting crop. It comes in burgundy and green.
And it looks like a little alien plant.
It has a very weird, it has a stem that goes underground, which goes to the root system. And the edible portion is around baseball, tennis ball size object that has limbs coming off of it with leaves.
Right. Kohlrabi is part of the brassica family, part of the kohl family. And it actually, yeah, I think it looks like a root crop, but then it's not a root crop.
Fun fact, the leaves on the kohlrabi are 3 times more nutrient dense than the bulb itself.
Wow.
But as the plant matures, the leaves get more tough. And the more you cook it, the more nutrients is lost based on the heat.
Here's another one is lettuce. And it's kind of like the arugula we talked about. It can become microgreens.
And you can grow lettuce. Lettuce is one of the simplest things in which you can grow in the fall because as the days get shorter on all of these crops, the days get cooler, the day length is shorter, and they don't have that sensitivity to go to bolt or seed like they do in the spring. The spring gets warmer, days get longer. These plants, they don't like that. Fall, it's the opposite. Get shorter days and cooler days. And lettuce, you can grow indoors in a window or underneath a Happy Leaf LED grow light all year long.
So then we have radishes, and radishes are quick to grow. They grow in about 30 days or so, so you can definitely grow those. And then there's spinach. That's another cool weather crop that we've grown a lot in the spring. I don't think we've ever grown in the fall. And you can make that into microgreens as well.
Well, Swiss chard is another one, which if you just like kale, if you've planted it in the spring, you're harvesting it all season long because they are not the heat doesn't bother them as bad as lettuce or spinach does, which will go to seed very, very rapidly, as well as radishes.
Right. So that's another option for you.
And real quickly on the Swiss chard, if you like Swiss chard or kind of don't like Swiss chard or not really sure, add cheese to it. What I'm talking about, you take the big leaf, cut the central stem out of that leaf. You cut the stem off that attaches from the plant, from the root system up. So you've got two green pieces of foliage there. And you just take some shredded cheese and sprinkle on one side and then roll it up like a little burrito. Pop it in the microwave for about 30 seconds on the grill outside or in a pan until the cheese melts. And you have a Swiss chard cheese burrito that's
like a roll-up.
Like a roll-up that's kind of healthy.
Right. Well, speaking of healthy.
Yes.
You want to think about what's in your food. And a lot of times, you know, we can and preserve. But Walton's has everything for meat.
But the meat.
the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by Walton's, Inc. You can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way to your high standards. You want to make snack sticks that people actually like. Walton's created at meatgistics.com. It's to help educate the people on how and why is the meat processing, as well as a community of almost 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. Walton's has decades of experience in the meat processing industry, and they're trying to bring that information to the home processor. So they have mixers, sausage stuffers, grinders, all the good stuff. That's waltonsinc.com. And again, the helpful website is meatgistics.com.
Whether you need seasonings for your barbecue or your kitchen, or you are a hunter, fisherman, or rancher, or somewhere in between, they are the source for everything you need. Well, when we come back, hang around. We're going to talk about farmers markets. Have you been to one this year? Well, if not, we're going to give you some information which you can use so you can have a better experience. You're listening to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Now that your garden is in place, help your plants grow with Chapin's sprayers. Use our hose-in and handheld sprayers to feed your plants and control pests. Set up a fertilizer injector to water and feed at the same time. Cover large areas with a backpack or ATV sprayer. Chapin equipment is available at all major home improvement and hardware stores and online at www.chapinmfg.com. Chapin, cover more ground. The water hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The water hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com. Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you.
Are you frustrated by how hard and dry your soil gets at this time of the year? You're not alone. The problem is that your soil has a high clay content. The clay shrinks and hardens as it dries, squeezing the air out of the soil. When soils are tight, roots are under stress and can no longer absorb water and nutrients easily. If you want to start improving your compacted clay soil, give Aerify Plus a try. For 20 years, homeowners and landscapers have been using liquid Aerify Plus to aerate and bioactivate their soils. Aerify Plus contains a soil penetrant as well as a liquid humates and seaweed. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Aerify Plus product. That's natureslawn.com.
The Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, Seedlink. Find all sponsors at theWisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being part of the program today. It's dry in a lot of portions of the U.S. Even if we're getting some rain, it's not making up for the deficit that we have exceeded. And you got to keep your plants healthy and happy and hydrated. Tree Diaper can do that with very little effort on your part.
How do you water your trees? You likely drag a hose over to it, let the hose run for about half an hour, and then go
forget
to
about
else.
It.
Yeah, uh-huh. Then a half an hour becomes an hour and a half,
and then overnight, and you're like, "Oh, this ain't good."
No, so stop doing that. Increase your water efficiency and save money with Tree Diaper.
We know you've done it.
No, yeah, exactly. No hoses to drag around constantly. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases stored rainwater when trees need it. The Tree Diaper fills with water from rain, or when you water it, and it slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants every time it rains. It recharges. It's made in the USA. You can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
So, have you gone to a farmer's market this year? If not, we've got some information for you to help your experience be better. And if you have, congratulations. Keep going. Support those local farmers in your area. So, Holly, for those who have gone and haven't gone, what does one need to know about a farmer's market?
Well, first of all, you probably have...
And there's people that go to a farmer's market that never has put a seed in the ground ever.
And actually, I suggest this for a lot of people when they find out about what... You know, we have a radio show, and they're like, well, I don't have a garden, or I can't have a garden, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, go to a farmer's market. You know, that's a good way to support your local agriculture and get fresh vegetables. So you can find farmer's markets by doing a simple Google search, but there's also a website called pickyourown.org, and this will actually take you to farmer's markets and then also pick your own locations.
Farms.
And then localharvest.org. So those are two options. Sometimes if you...
Give those addresses one more time.
Pickyourown.org and localharvest.org. So maybe you don't like your farmer's market. You want to find a new one.
Right.
You might be able to find one.
And farmer's markets in your town can be completely different than farmer's markets 20 minutes down the road.
Right. That's another thing. And you might find one, like, say your farmer's market's on Tuesday and it's not convenient or whatever. You might find one that's on a Saturday or Sunday. So there's an option there, too.
And farmer's markets, many people may think, well, it's only on a Saturday or Sunday. There's farmer's markets pretty much every day of the week. it's not just a standard farmer's market. It can only be on this day.
Well, I know where we are. There's many.
Yeah, Tuesday evening, yeah. Wednesday morning, Sunday, Saturday, and everywhere in between.
Right. And sometimes there's even like maker's markets with the farmer's markets. We'll get to that.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, there's almost always one run around to find. You can shop around. So when you go to your farmer's market, you might walk up to your first farmer and you see some beets and some corn and some melons. And then you're like, well, that's a good price, but maybe you go a couple booths down and you find a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good idea. Or, you know, maybe they have a different variety. Maybe you're looking for green tomatoes. And
because what did Dwight Schrute say? Those are the what kind of beets? Or
the money beets.
The money beets. That's right. Those are the money beets.
The money beets.
Yeah.
That's from the farm stand.
From, yeah. The yeah. Office reference for those who are not familiar.
I need to stop for those beets right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you got the money beets, good for you. So anyway.
Here's the thing about farmers markets. You're not going to go to stand one and they're going to have beets for $3 and go to stand seven and they have beets for $25. There's a certain, it isn't certain, the farmers market president or whatever, isn't there a parameter in which they kind of set the price for the farmers so they're not so outlandish in?
I'm sure there is, yeah. But you can also find a variety,
right,
too.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, and then sometimes, you know, one farmer might have ground cherries and another one might not. So, whatever. But, yeah, you want to look around. You know, shop around first before you start doling out your cash.
Yeah, make a loop around and see what's out there.
And that's another thing is bring cash. I know not a lot of people carry cash these days.
I know. Some of them do.
Some of them do cards.
The EBT, like the right. The low, whatever we call it, food stamps is what we used to call it. It's a fancier term now.
But just make sure you do have the cash.
Well, here's the thing. If you've never gone to a farmer's market, or for those who have, you're going to nod your head in agreement with this. You take a $20 bill to a farmer's market, you're going to walk out of that farmer's market with more produce than you can carry for $20.
Totally. As long as you don't get distracted by soap and crafts.
Yeah, we're talking vegetables and stuff here. Yeah. Real quick, if you are going on a very warm, hot day, take your own bag, take your own like soft-sided cooler, and put some ice packs in it. And that will help keep the things cool and not wilt before you get home. Or if you're going to a farmer's market that sells meat, many of these, if not all farmer's markets, per law, they have to sell, the meat has to be frozen for safety.
Yeah.
Go there first, buy your meat, put it in the bottom of the cooler, then put your vegetables on top of it, keep everything cool the entire time you're there.
Right. And that's one thing I want to mention is you might think that farmers markets are only seasonal, but there's actually a lot of times there's winter farmers markets too. So that's something you could research as well. So you want to bring your own bags. And Joey had mentioned like bringing maybe a cooler bag or something, but if you don't have that.
Bring a bottle of water too for yourself.
Right. Right. Bring something to drink. But yeah, bring your own bags. And then that way, because the farmers are outputting the costs, you know, for those plastic bags. So if you bring your own bags, they'll be very appreciative. Farmers markets are fun, I think. A lot of times, sometimes your farmers market might have live music or entertainment or something. So you can always look into that.
And some farmers markets encourage, you know, the whole family, bring the dog along. And other ones forbid it. There's signs miles away. No dogs allowed. So it's up to the organizer of said farmer's market.
What about a cat?
I think that would be not a good ending.
Well
executed, poorly, well thought out, but poorly executed.
Probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then a lot of times they have other items, like Joey mentioned, meat. There's sometimes dairy products. Mm-hmm. I know here, like most places, I mean, we're Wisconsin, so there's going to be cheese a lot. Dairy, eggs, flour.
Barbecue.
Yeah, some have hot food, barbecue. One place, you know, I know one place has like churros, so you can find.
For those of us who don't know what a churro is, what would that be?
A churro is like a Latin pastry, kind of.
Like a fancy donut?
It's like a long fancy donut.
Okay, all right.
It's delicious.
All right.
So there's those crafty stuff.
We didn't have those on the farm.
You probably did not. No. Mm-mm. Crafty stuff.
What is crafty stuff?
Like, you know, you might have somebody there with a booth that's like selling some homemade dish towels or something.
We're not saying, you know, shirts with some kind of, you know, sports team on it. We're talking about like somebody spent time and love making something. Okay.
Yeah, like I made this jewelry or whatever.
Okay. Talk to the farmer.
Yeah, you want to talk to the farmer. and maybe you're like, what, you know, why is this carrot purple, or what do I do?
Well, that's the thing.
This?
People swear up and down that there's no such thing as rainbow carrots. There's only orange carrots. That's all there is. There's red, there's burgundy, there's purple, there's like almost black, there's white, there's yellow carrots, all kinds. The orange was just a byproduct of one of the kings back years ago liked orange, and that's what that kind of stuck. Right. You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that.
And carrots were not always popular on dinner plates in America until after the war, whenever the soldiers was fed that every and they asked for it when they come back.
Gross.
You like carrots.
I don't like nasty, mushy,
no,
disgusting
no,
carrots.
No, but a carrot in a roast or a
yeah,
fresh
that's
carrot.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not eating the mushy brown sugar.
I don't care. That's
disgusting.
Fine. All right. Some people probably really like that.
That's fine. They probably don't like other things that I
yeah,
like.
Okay.
Maybe they don't like crafty items.
Okay. Well, possibly. So, yeah. So back to
talking to farmers. I learned about ground cherries at a farmer's market because the farmer was like, try this. And I was like,
that's the other thing. Now, I don't know post whatever we're in right now world if samples or that type of thing is still allowed or encouraged or offered. Hey, I don't know. Try this. Here's a little sliver of whatever. See if you like it before you decide to purchase, you know, $5 of it.
Right. I don't know. We'll have to, I mean, maybe we can see, but either way,
and here's the other,
talk to the farmer.
If you're having problems growing peppers and they have all colors of the rainbow peppers, you can ask them, hey, how do you grow these? Cause I'm having this issue. And they will say, well, here's what you're doing right. And here's what you're doing wrong. Also, there are organic stands, certified organic, transitional organic, and ones that are not labeled organic, but they will say that they grow it organically.
You can also ask them if they use pesticides,
yes,
or whatever, herbicides, what have you.
And the reason why some of these farmers are not certified organic is because of the tremendous expense and the long paperwork trail it takes in order to do it. It really cuts into their bottom dollar because they've got to, you know, they may be doing everything that the FDA says they need to do in order to be organic. They're just not certified because of the overwhelming expense and everything that has to be put into it as well.
Wooden spoons. We bought some wooden spoons at a farmer's market.
Okay, we come back circle on that. Okay.
Yeah, circle back to the crafty stuff.
Okay.
So there's lots of stuff at farmer's markets. So if you're like, my farmer's market is always packed and it's such a pain and blah, blah, blah.
I don't like people. People.
I can understand.
Oh, no, people.
Yeah. You should go early. If you go early, especially on a weekend, on a Saturday morning, there's typically not going to be a lot of people there. Be the first person there.
Yeah.
And then by the time the crowd's rolling in, you're already done.
Well, however, there's a downside to that. You're probably going to pay full price for everything. If the farmer's market closes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you get there at 1:45, these farmers are not wanting to take home any of this. So if the beets are $3 for whatever number, they may knock it down half price just so it's gone.
Well, sometimes you got to pay the anti-people tax.
I know. But I'm just saying, if you want to get, you know, basically double what you normally would get, go half hour, 45 minutes before they close because they're wanting to get that stuff. They don't want to take anything home because essentially they've either got to eat it themselves, donate it, or throw it away.
Right.
There's not a whole lot in between there.
But if your coworker is like, you got to go to the farmer's market and you got to try the something-something
right.
bread, and but then like go early, it sells out fast. Trust me, that coworker knows what they're talking about.
Well, we know what we're talking about when we talk about Japanese beetles. Summer is in full swing. It's hot out there, and those Japanese beetles are wreaking havoc on our gardens.
Yeah, if you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. It's derived from naturally occurring soil bacteria. Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. Just mix the powder with water and spray on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pest will stop feeding and die. And since it's an organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies, in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only does Beetle Gone work, the best part about it, it is safe to use around beneficial insects such as ladybugs, butterflies, and bees, and it has zero water toxicity. Beetle Gone from PhylumBioproducts.com. That's PhylumBioproducts Bioproducts.com. Hang around. Author Lori Anna Raymond Duvernell will be with us moments away. You're listening to The Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. One way to help increase the healthiness of your plants is throughout the growing season, continuously remove the lower sets of leaves on your plants. This will help reduce the amount of fungal diseases the plants can receive by soil splashing up on them. Another great way to reduce the amount of fungal chances your plants may receive is by continuously mulching with organic means of mulch around your plants. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com.
Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at piperandleaf.com.
Looking for a non-toxic fly control? Call the Bug Farm, 1-800-248-BUGS. Bugs.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Tired of dealing with bugs but don't want to use harmful chemicals to repel them? Naturally Green No More Bugs is all natural and plant-based. No more chemical bug repellent. Use it around your home and on you, indoors and out, DEET free, and will not stain. Repels mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, flies, and more. No More Bugs is the answer to what is bugging you. Stop using harmful chemicals and use what is safe for you, your family, pets, and the environment. For more information, visit natgreenproducts.com. natgreenproducts.com. Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at mysoulbrew.com or find them on Facebook at My Soul Brew. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rikon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today. Moments away, author Loriana Raymond Divinell will be with us. But first, Japanese beetles attacking your plants? Rescue has a trap that will work for you, which we have installed in our garden and is doing quite well.
Japanese beetle traps, which you, when used properly, draw beetles away from your plants and trees. The trick is to hang them 30 feet from the plants you want to protect. That way you lure beetles away from areas where they can cause damage and trap them. Rescue Japanese beetle traps are the only trap with a controlled release lure that lasts the entire beetle season. Their extra large bag is welded directly to the trap and stays put even when it's full of beetles. And Rescue Japanese beetle trap is the only trap with a reusable bag that opens and closes at the bottom in case beetle season is a bad one. Just open, empty, and keep trapping the beetles with the same trap. You can find all this information at rescue.com. It's made in the USA. Again, that's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Loriana Raymond Divinell is an environmental educator, teacher, mom, community volunteer, writer, and children's book author. Her website is LorianaWrites.com. Welcome to the program, Loriana.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day. So let's get into it. What is an environmental educator? I'm assuming this is more than just telling people don't throw trash in the ditch or in the lake. I'm going to say there's more details than that.
Sure. And I think that's what a lot of people think as well. And I know oftentimes when I explain it, I know people think, oh, maybe you just work at a nature center. But environmental education has a really broad scope. We teach about the outdoors. We teach about ecology. But we also teach about water resources and waste and energy and just looking at the natural resources that are available in the world and how the use of them affects people and how people affect their usage.
Well, yeah, and talking about the being cautious of the amount of water, where we're located, Lake Michigan, it's very plentiful, but there's many portions of the country that's listening to the show right now where water is almost non-existent, and we need to be cautious of how we use any drop of water, no matter where we're at.
Right, right. And I think we take it for granted here in Wisconsin because we are a water-rich area. But around the world, that's definitely not true. And so we have to think of ourselves as global citizens in that regard.
Most definitely. So why is environmental education vital, especially with younger kids? Do they seem interested? And how do you keep them engaged?
So we like to say with the kids that we teach, environmental education is really kind of just life education or world education. And if we think about the things that we need to survive, we need air, we need water, we need food, we need shelter, and all of those things have some kind of energy cost. Environmental education looks at the cost of acquiring, using, and disposing of those resources and how it affects people. And for kids, you know, those are really big concepts that, you know, we don't want to weigh them down with, but we try to engage them by drawing on their curiosity of the natural world. It's a Wisconsin state standard that kids are exposed to the outdoors, to be able to explore outdoors and to just wonder about how our world functions. And it's this connectedness to the land that we have and the water and the air. And by building that at a young age, we hope to develop citizens who are concerned about the earth and want to make sure that they give back to it.
Now, I'm going to take the guess that it's kind of one of those you teach the kids and the kids will teach the parents and the grandparents.
In theory, that would be wonderful. And we always definitely hope that they bring lessons home with them. And we want to make sure that we connect with them so that they have a positive experience and that they have that positive attitude going forward when they're thinking about all of those resources.
Awesome. So when I was a student in the early 90s, the good old Wisconsin public school system, there was there's a lot of environmental education that was focused on reduce, reuse, recycle. That was huge then. I just remember that being like a big point. What is the focus now?
So I think that focus hasn't gone away. I think if you ask anybody, I assume I'm kind of around your age as well, because I remember those things too. Those are definitely things that we want to keep in mind, but I think environmental education has expanded that. And a lot of people say there are really five R's, and the first one is refuse. So before you take anything and have to, you know, reduce your usage of it, just don't even take it. And so I think of, like, when I go to the grocery store, I refuse to use plastic bags that are there because I know that I can use something that I already have in that place. So there's refuse, there's reduce, which is use less of the things that you do use. Reuse things once you're done with them. How can you give them a second life? Recycle is actually the trickiest one. And I know that's the thing that people often think of first, but it's actually the thing you want to do after you've done all of the other things, because there isn't always a use for or an end use for recycled materials. And then the fifth R that we often don't think of is rot. And I know you guys are a gardening show, so maybe that's on more people's minds of with your listeners. But composting is really a great way to renew some of those resources that we have. So definitely those five R's are still used today. But I would say the thing that has maybe changed the most in the last, you know, 20 or 30 years since I was in school was we're looking towards how can environmental green economy be used to drive our world forward. So rather than just thinking of things that, the way that we've always done them, how can we do things differently but still in an economical way and still make money, but do it, you know, in a way that's better for the planet?
And the recycling thing, we can get in as deep as you want to go here, but we are now learning to some degree, if it goes in the recycling bin, that doesn't mean it gets recycled based on where it goes and what it is and what country it used to get shipped to and now it doesn't. So we're getting some more eye-opening information on that pretty frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a long time it was billed as, you know, the answer to our waste problem. And what we've come to find is it, a lot of people just, you know, sent it away. And, you know, away isn't away for everybody. You know, there's definitely places where that has built up because there's just no other use for it.
Right. If I see it go away, it means I did a good thing. But, you know, that you got to figure out if you're really doing a good thing by putting in the recycling
right.
bin. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's definitely important for people to, I think, realize is that a lot of times people call it like downcycling or faux cycling because of it's not always being recycled. And when people are educated on that, I know that they might become more conscious of what they're purchasing, that it's not just going to go, hopefully, to get recycled.
Right. So, yeah. That front end, if we can, you know, have people refuse to, you know, don't get things that you don't need, but also reduce the things that you buy and reduce the things that you use, that really, you know, makes a difference when you're looking for what you do with it when you're done with it.
And, you know, growing up on the farm life, much different than city life, many things could disappear very quickly with a strike of a match. We, you know, recycle. I mean, really, we recycled aluminum cans because it was value to it, but everything else was 60 or 80 miles away, so it went in a burn pile and it disappeared. That's just how it worked for farm life.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm as well, and we had our, you know, town dumps that opened up every Saturday. And so, yeah, we recycled cans and glass and everything else went. So things have changed a lot, which, you know, hopefully is for the better. But there's just so many different ways that we can, you know, even go a step beyond.
Definitely, I agree. So we are talking with Loriana Raymond Duvernell. She's an environmental educator, writer, and full of great information. So your book is In the Mud. It's for all ages and beautifully illustrated. What is this book about, and why should our listeners look into it?
Sure. So book is kind of a combination of me being an elementary educator, actually, and an environmental educator, and wanting to, you know, teach people some of the things that I'm passionate about in the environmental world. The book is a picture book about how animals survive in winter. Originally, the idea came from a question my daughter asked me when she was in kindergarten, and she was looking for frogs, and it was the middle of January. And I was like, Marina, there are no frogs out in January. And she asked where they went. And when she asked me how they went, and, you know, I'm an environmental educator. And I was like, I don't know where they go. And so it kind of sent me on a learning path just to figure out where they went. And what I said I didn't know, I said maybe under something somewhere. And she said, under in the mud? And that phrase kind of reminded me of a book that I had as a child called Over in the Meadow, which a lot of people might be familiar with. And so the book is based off of that rhyme, and it looks at ways that animals that are common in the Wisconsin area, especially, ways that they survive the winter. And some of them are pretty unique. I learned a lot about different adaptations that animals have. And I'm thrilled that I'm able to share that and teach others kind of on a wider scale.
Very interesting. And not maybe not just for kids, but there's some people of adult age that are not familiar with how some animals migrate or live through cold winters in the northern portion of the United States either.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my dad always says, you know, who knew that, you know, frogs can freeze like popsicles, or that garter snakes can gather in big snake balls? And these aren't things that, you know, we learn in our typical K-12 education. And so it's kind of fun to find that out when you're older as well.
Well, what are some things we can do in our everyday lives that people can change to help the environment that maybe we are just overlooking that would be common sense once you say it?
Sure. So I think what I always say is the world is not looking for you to be perfect. It's just looking for you to try. And so if there are ways that you can be mindful of your consumption, every little bit helps. You know, how much electricity you use, how much gas you consume, where your groceries are coming from, you know, where your, you know, food is grown. the clothing that you choose to buy or reuse. Is there a better alternative when you are looking at purchasing something? And it's okay to, you know, not be the, you know, greenest of the green when you think about these things, but just to put that extra thought in and try to, you know, do a little bit better by the earth. One of my favorite authors is Robin Wall Kimmerer, and her main teaching is, how can you give back to the earth in gratitude for everything that the earth gives to us? I mean, we think about, you know, our water and our soil and our air resources, and just, can we be thankful that the earth can sustain us, and how can we do better by it?
That's definitely very helpful. We've really enjoyed our time with you today. How do people find out more about you and your great information?
Sure. Well, thanks for asking. My website is laurianawrites.com. My name is goofy spelling. It's LAURIANNA, and then writes like you write a book. If you want to find me through Amazon, that works just as well. And if you Google my name, I'm pretty much the only Laurianna Raymond Duvernell out there, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Well, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered to Holly and myself and educating not only us, but all of our listeners across the country.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thanks again.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's your garden questions, our garden answers. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. Do you want to transform your kitchen waste into a valuable soil amendment? Cousins Compost offers a variety of composting supplies. Cousins Compost's Royal Worm Bedding is designed to produce excellent worm castings. Use coupon code REDWORM21 for 10% off at CousinsCompost.com. The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order. Hello, I'm Joey Baird from the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. If you're looking for merchandise for the program, you can go to thatismyshirt.com and get shirts with our logos on it. If you'd want to go a different route, they have a lot of comical, logical, and witty sayings on shirts that you can wear that makes a statement. From valedictorian from Common Sense University to I Heart Compost to Don't Be Just Average Today, and a number of other great sayings. It all can be found at thatismyshirt.com. thatismyshirt.com. Sizes from small to 5 extra large and multiple colors per shirt to choose from. thatismyshirt.com. ChipDrop is a website. You can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. ChipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ChipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account. RinseKit, your hose on the go, pressurized water at your fingertips. Without pumping or battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink. On your way out to the garden, beach, or anywhere, spray it, wash it, RinseKit. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thanks for being with us today. We've enjoyed your company. If you want to get a hold of us, it's question and answer time. You can certainly do that a couple of ways. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Lock that in your phone or your computer, your email, so you have that available. Or you can give us a ring-a-ding-ding on your mobile device at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Had a number of questions come in this week, Holly. We'll see what we can get through to the top of the hour. First question is, how to get grubs out of my garden. They are living under straw bales, and I believe skunks are digging them up under the bale, and they are even digging them out of some plants under the ground of the plants. Thanks, Tim from South Dakota. Any advice that we can offer Tim on that one?
Yeah, so you can hand remove them.
I know. I don't know if the grubs are the bigger of the two issues, the skunk versus the grubs.
Skunks are eating the grubs.
I know, but the skunks, if you walk up to a skunk, it's not going to say hi. It's going to let loose and
It's not like a perfumey cat.
No. Not like Pepe the Pew or whatever that one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, so you can remove them by hand, which at this point, I think it sounds like that he's past that point.
Yeah.
You can use beneficial nematodes, and there's plenty of information on how to do that online. Otherwise, Phylum, our sponsor, has a grub gone granular.
Yes.
And it's safe to use around the garden, around kids, pets. And then it gets rid of the all different levels of grubs.
There's different stages of the grub.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is one. And a lot of these reviews mention skunks.
Uh-huh.
I guess this is a problem. And it gets rid of the grubs to get rid of the skunks.
Yeah, you get rid of one and you get rid of the other.
What came first, the grubs or the skunks?
Right. So that's Phylum Bioproducts. That's Phylum Bioproducts.com. And they have a number of environmentally friendly ways to control Japanese beetles and grubs and everything in between there. All right, Holly, next question here. How is the best way to know when my leek flower seeds are ready to harvest?
They would have to be fully dry or nearly dry. So what you'll do is you'll see the flowers come, and then they'll kind of die. They'll kind of not be as peppy looking. And then you can take one off the stem or take a little portion of the flower. I don't know what it's called, like a little chunk of the flower.
Yeah, and squeeze it.
And then squeeze it, and then you'll have these little black seeds, and they'll be dry. You'll know if they're dry, and they're ready.
If they're immature, they're going to be more of a green or white color. It's a delicate balance to know, because if you wait too long, most of your seeds have fallen on the ground, and the same thing goes with onion seeds and or shallot seeds. On that. So you want to wait. Now is the time in most of the northern areas where if you have leeks that you have let overwinter, biennial, so is onions, so is shallots, they will flower the second year unless they are extremely stressed the first year, which I wouldn't recommend saving seeds from an extremely stressed plant because the maturity may not be there, the genetics may not be there to the quality that a healthy plant that naturally goes to seed its second year would provide you. And that flower will contain about 500 seeds, more seeds than you know what to do with. However, by saving the seeds on anything that you grow, it does make a difference by growing them again the following year in your ecosystem. We see this a lot of times very visually with sunflowers. Sunflowers fall to the ground last year. They come up naturally this year, and they are 3 or 4 or 5 times larger with more blooms.
And they're sturdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
About twice as big as a broom handle, mm-hmm. about 3 inches in diameter, compared to one that you would grow from a seed this year. So the same thing holds true with tomatoes and onions and leeks, that keeping that, you know, growing in that same area, that same climate year after year.
Acclimated.
The acclimation of it, yes. Okay, next question here. Why would I be getting white spots or patches on my ripening raspberries? I've never seen this before. Any advice?
Sure. So this is a physiological problem. It's a disorder called sun scald. It's because of the extreme hot temperatures and high sun exposure. So watering regularly will help the disorder, especially in the extreme hot temperatures. You would just want to benefit your plants the most, water in the evening or in the morning.
But if you have a large area of berries of any size, in this instance, shade cloth is an investment in which you can have. In some of these times now, portions of the country where we're getting temperatures in the triple digits for long periods at a time, we can put shade cloth up, make a frame. Shade cloth comes in percentiles of darkness, from 10% all the way up to like 50, 70% darkness. You would have to figure out what would be best. But just reducing the amount of sun going on the plant. We see this a lot with pepper plants. You get a pepper, a big, large pepper, and it's all brown and mushy on one side because it was exposed to sunlight too much and has gotten sunburned. Same thing going on with these raspberries. They're getting too much sun. So if we're looking at a point where we might need to invest in shade cloth in order to slow down or prevent this problem from happening, maybe a wise choice to move forward with such a thing.
Right. So here's our next question. All right. Is I harvested my fall garlic. After hanging it, it didn't dry and now it's soft and mushy. Any recommendations?
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not good. So unfortunately, it sounds like white rot. And white rot is a disease that lives in the soil, and it causes issue for a lot of what's called the allium family plants, which includes leeks and onions. So what happens is that this lives in your soil, and you definitely have to do some research on how to eradicate it. But it sounds like that's white rot. It typically happens where you harvest the root, and then after a while, it just is mushy.
So don't plant those family of plants in the same area if you can. You need to plant it somewhere very, very different. If not, create a raised bed and bring in specific soil to grow those particular types of vegetables to eliminate the problem. All right, let's see here. I fed my garden some granular 10-10-10 on my tomatoes, peppers, and other plants. My tomatoes are yellowing at the lower leaves, and some of the cucumber leaves are dying off. Is it the fertilizer that I just recently applied?
No. So unless you aggressively applied that fertilizer and aggressively watered it, it is not the fertilizer.
It could be if it was liquid.
If it was liquid, it could
be. If it was a liquid inorganic,
right,
it could be the problem. But this is a granular. You're not breaking it down that quick.
No. So it sounds like the tomatoes are early blight, and early blight lives in your soil. So there are a few things that you can do. You can trim off the lower 6 to 8 inches of the tomato plant leaves.
And any infected plants.
And any infected leaves.
Up to 25% of the total capacity of the plant.
Right. You can take yellow whole grain cornmeal and sprinkle that around the base of the plant. This has to be yellow whole grain. And then you can also mulch around those plants, and that will help that early blight. As far as the cucumbers, cucumbers sometimes just have dead-looking leaves. It happens. The leaves die back because they're putting their energy to the plant.
Typically, a lot of plants, the lower sets of leaves will die off as the plant matures. You'll see this on zucchini. Cucumbers are very prevalent with this. And again, cucumbers, we're early in the growing cycle. They're not a 4 or 5 month long plant. They're a very short season plant when you look at the duration of what they are capable of doing. So it's as long as it's just dying off and it's not a chemical drift, a disease, or some type of that problem, if it's just natural dying off, it's not really a problem. It's just part of how the plant operates. So that was cucumbers and tomatoes there. My bush beans and pole bean leaves are very shriveled and twisted looking. I have kept them watered, and we've had quite a bit of rain too. Any suggestions what this could be?
It's just too much water, essentially. So if you
too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing. So if you maybe it's dried out a little bit now, I would definitely halt if you have irrigation to the plants for a little bit. Like, you'll dig down in the soil and feel how moist it is. Let it kind of dry out a little bit. They'll bounce back. it'll be fine.
It's going to take a little longer for them to return to natural size and shape and everything, but it's not like it's not, they're not going to die. If you back the water off, it should be a little better on them for that. And just part of the deal. So that's something, you know, too much water, and this can happen on other plants too, too much water. You want your soil to be the consistency of a damp sponge, not a sopping bog. And when you start seeing that, that's where, if you're getting a lot of precipitation, you want to shut that irrigation down so it's not watering the plants while it's raining and you get this whole, you know, slobby muck.
Yeah.
And it really can hurt the plants in not a good way. Well, with that being said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or want to revisit it? Well, you can certainly do that by a couple of means. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we'll send you a link to the program today. Or you can go to our website, parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Season 5 tab. And as we mentioned earlier, it's 150 this show. You can see all 149 shows in video and podcast form there. Or, and that's how you can do that. Join us next week on the program. We're going to go over what's going wrong in our garden, what we've done wrong, and what we should do better, as well as August to-do list items. And our guest will be, there it is, Kelly Orizel. She's an author, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.